Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzz TV. Welcome, Arrow fans, to the after show, and we are recapping Birds of Prey. I'm your host, Ali Kona Bradford, and tonight we have our own little bird that has stopped by. But I'm going to leave you guys on the edge of your seats right now, and while I do, I shall introduce your fabulous hosts. So take it away, Kelly.
I'm Kelly. Hi.
That's it. Over on the other side.
Hi, I'm Yel.
Hello, how are you doing, viewers? My name is Mowgli.
It's
my nickname. My real name is Michael Durgin. You can find me on Twitter at @mmowgli.
He's always the first to put out his
promoter.
So now that you guys have been pondering for all of 30 seconds, I'll just go ahead and give it away. Tonight we have a very special guest that we've been highly anticipating. So please welcome the beautiful and talented Katie Lotz.
Excellent. This is excellent.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming by. We've been wanting you for such a long time.
Yeah. No, I'm glad we finally got to do it. It was fun.
Yeah.
And it's such a great episode. Black Canary was kicking ass tonight.
There was a lot of ass kicking happening.
I really, really liked it.
So I want to talk about the show, but before we do, I want to take just a few minutes to get to know a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about the show, and then we'll probably talk a little bit more about you. But while we do that, I want to know a little bit about the evolution of your career, because, you know, there's such a thing as a triple threat, and this girl is like a six-tuple threat, right? Because you sing, you dance, you act, you do martial arts, you break. B-girling is like a whole different level of dance. And there was something else you do that I'm sure I'm leaving out somewhere. I know you model. There's something else.
I don't know.
Parkour. You parkour.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that made the, like, threat list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Nice. Absolutely. Nice. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about the evolution of your career as far as the entertainment industry.
Well, I started as a dancer, and I never really had any idea that you could work as a dancer like that. That was a job. I don't think anything like in the creative industry to me was something that I actually could do as a job, but I loved dancing and I got good at it because I did it every day, and then started working professionally when I was 17 out here. I know we danced with the same dance company.
We did. Yeah. So cool. We're family.
Shout out to the Culture Shock.
Hey, what's up?
San Diego, Vegas. And then from there, I moved to Europe to be in a singing group.
Nice.
With, like, two of my best friends, and one of the girls actually was in Culture Shock San Diego, too. And so we headed out to Germany, and I was in a singing group, and then I came back. I was backup dancing. I went on tour with Avril Lavigne, and I was like, you know what? I don't really want to dance anymore. And then I started taking acting classes, and I fell in love with it, and one thing led to the next, and I was doing that. Oh, and somewhere in between there, I started doing martial arts and drinking and parkour.
Nice. So, Michael, across the table over here, likes to talk about how he parkours all the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
So he says...
I can tell from the physique you
make. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, so, yeah.
That wasn't a burn.
Yeah, it wasn't. Really? They're just haters. I know.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
I played Titanfall pretty religiously,
one day, I'd like to propose that you guys both, like, do a little something.
Yeah.
Show some of your moves and maybe...
I stick mostly to rock climbing now. Are you a rock climber at all?
You know what? I was just about to go with my friend this weekend.
J-Tree?
No. She goes somewhere in, like, Ojai.
Oh, yeah. I usually go Joshua Tree, or I'll go up to Yosemite for a weekend, but I go by myself, and I just climb everything from, like, 5'8" and under. I don't really do ropes anymore or anything like that.
Hardcore.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Tom Cruise. It's not a big deal. Mission Impossible.
No big.
What color were you in? What were you on martial arts?
I stopped the belt system when I was young. I didn't do...
Jeez,
you're
that advanced?
No. Like, I never was, like, a black belt or anything. I stopped doing, like, traditional martial arts when I was younger, and then I just started... learning from friends. Like, I'd go to this gym, and I'd go to break.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of martial artists there. So they would be like, teach me to break. And then I'd teach them, and then they'd teach me, and I'd started doing, like, tricking. And I took a little Muay Thai, some Krav Maga. I kind of, like, dabbled in everything.
I was a yellow stripe, which is directly above a white belt.
Wow. Nice. So I want to ask you something, though. Going into Sarah Lance, when you read for the part, I know my first question was going to be like, oh, what intrigued you about the character? But then I had heard that you didn't even know that that's who you were reading for, right?
Yeah, no, it was a character named Lisa, and it was made up sides. But the one thing that they, you know, because they do need to make sure you are that character, so they put that into what you're reading. And she was really strong. I remember, like, the sides were something about, like, her brother was, like, a vertigo dealer, and the arrow killed her brother. And so she was still, like, really strong and, like, you know, going face-to-face with him. And so I liked the character because it was that, you know, she was in, like, save me and
all
that stuff.
So once you got past the part of, hey, we really like you, did they have you do a physical audition as well? Like, hey, let's see you scale a wall. And
No? You know what? I always wonder that, too, like... when they have somebody who's, like, super fit, like Stephen Amell, like, I'm like, I wonder if they made him take his shirt off before he got the part.
Right.
Because, like, that would have gotten him the part. But, no, you don't – they don't test your physicality or, like, look at your abs or anything like that.
No, but they knew – they already knew that you had all these skills?
They did. They had seen a lot of footage of what I do and stuff like that, so they were familiar with it, yeah.
So how much of it is actually you in the show?
A lot of the fighting is me. Most of, like, the – stunts that are like wire work and stuff is my stunt double, who's awesome. Her name's Adeline. She used to be like a circ performer and a gymnast, and she's really great. And it's weird, I never had a stunt double before this show. I always did all my own stunts, and I thought that was like normal. And now I realize like it's really not normal to do your own stunts because of insurance purposes, time,
safety. Weren't you a stunt double for a Step Up?
Yeah, I was the dance double for, like, the girl.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
I mean, like, flipped around. And
moving on up.
Yeah. Nice.
And I did, like, some stunt work before I started acting, yeah.
So what type of training do you do for the show when you're prepping? Can you run us through maybe, like, a week of what it's like to prepare for something?
Our production schedule is insane. We never have time to... There's a few times we'll get a stunt rehearsal. But most of it is we're learning it on set, like, right before we do it.
Wow.
But there has been a few, like, we have gotten some time. And, like, I've asked to, like, because I never had fought with weapons before, so using the bow staff was something new for me, so I really wanted some time with it so that I didn't look like, you know.
Do you feel weird when you when you say the word bow staff in a sentence, like, in your life right now?
No, not at all. Maybe it was, like, chain whip or some other, like, weird weapon.
Yeah. Like, when I got to get used to using the bow staff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about all this fighting, I want to talk about the first fight scene of this episode because it was really good. That's one of the things I always comment about, too, on this show. I love, and I know, Yael, you said it, too, like, we love having strong female characters that aren't like, oh, well, that was me. Handsome man, come save me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really refreshing to have this female come and just kick ass everywhere, even, like, with dudes and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
That long tangent was just for me to ask. I was contemplating. They have you in a blonde wig, right?
Mm-hmm. With blonde hair.
Yeah. Like, what was the thought behind that one?
You know, also, how do we keep that wig on when you're fighting?
Pins. Lots of pins. with the wig, yeah, there's two different arguments you can go with it. One is no one would ever imagine that a blonde girl would wear a blonde wig to hide her identity.
Genius.
So further hiding the identity. And also, I think it's just, like, a really cool, like, for the comic, like, the vision of it. It's such a – when the difference of having the wig and not, it's just – it really adds that comic booky feel, and it's kind of fun.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Speaking of that, we actually have a question from one of our fans on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
From Trisha at GleeDemiFan01. She wants to know, who is your favorite superhero?
Jeez.
It's
good question.
Gosh, that is a good question. I mean, I've always loved the Batman movies. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Arrow is kind of has that similar vibe to it. But I think Batman, yeah.
What's your favorite? And what is, has been your favorite line to say up to this point? Is there a favorite line?
Yeah, there's been so many. What was today? There was some good ones.
I don't know. You know what? I will say this. No, yeah. I loved watching her watch the episode because apparently when you guys film, you don't have the voice.
A modulator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so the first time you had heard your voice, you're like, ooh.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It grew on me. At first, I was like, ooh, I don't like that. But then I was like, okay, it sounds cool. But at first I was like, that's kind of manly. Like,
yeah, the first time we heard it, all of us made the same sound. Like, whoa.
But didn't it grow on you a little bit? Like, as maybe we got used to it, or maybe it was just
I think it was the same the first time we heard the Arrow use that voice. It was like wait, no, that doesn't fit. Second, and then now it's totally
he uses
fit.
The Christian Bale voice.
Yes.
That's what he uses.
Yes.
So when you guys are doing the island scenes, and I don't know, I've not seen, but there was this reel that CW had out, and it showed Stephen Amell doing a scene where he was on the raft, and it's really interesting because that part I never really thought would be green screen, but they had the green screen, this little teeny pond with some fans blowing in his face, and he's like, ah, oh. So how hard is it for you as an actress? Do you ever have to do stuff like that? And if so, to really get in the zone and pretend that you're in this?
In episode 5, which was, it was like the first big Sarah episode, and it was this, the boat crash and everything, and that actually, like, that was a crazy one for filming. They built this giant tank of water. It was so cool. And they have like a wave machine in it, and they have rain and wind. And at first I was like, this is so fun. You know, like I jump into the water. It's kind of heated. It was like nice and warm, and I'm like swimming. And then they start the wave machine, and they're like, okay, now you're drowning. And, like, I really felt like I was drowning because you go, like, you have to go up and down, and you know, go to take a breath of air, and you're like, and then a wave crashes over you, and you're just, like, choking on it. And they had, like, the water safety guy there, and by the end of it, because you get tired, too, the guy was, like, swimming out there to, like, hold me up because I was, like, really drowning.
Wow.
So that part wasn't so all
amazing.
Imagination. go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to
cut you off. Go ahead.
I downloaded an app on my phone. It's called Voice Plus,
uh-huh.
And you can do the Arrow voice with it.
Really?
It's not exact, but I was bored
let's
in the week.
Hear it. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can do one. Here, let's see if I can get it. Hold on. Hello. How you doing?
No.
That's so stupid. I gotta say something better. That was dumb. That was totally dumb. Hold on, let me try again.
You're so fired.
Okay, so while go ahead.
Cool, never mind. No, okay, here we go. Get out of my city. That's what I'll say. I like that. I was going to say Starling City, but so that's how I normally
wait,
sound,
wait, do it again
right?
For the microphone so okay. We can hear it.
Get out of my city.
It sounds like you.
Hold on. Now, wait. Just give me a second here. I'm working magic.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So now I'm going to go to, okay, we got to slow it down. Hold on.
Get out of my city.
Nice!
That is good.
You want to hear?
Too bad it didn't do it real time, though.
Yeah.
Like, and you could just talk and it would go right through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just so we know, it's not all movie magic. We really could. Any one of us could be a superhero right now.
Right.
Like, literally, that's all it takes.
Done.
It's an app.
Right.
Right.
I
got an app for that. Yeah. I'm going to become a superhero now.
Right.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the show, and then we can go back to asking more questions about, you can give us
let's
your input on certain
I'm
things like that.
I'm excited about this episode.
So let's talk about the island, since we were just talking about that. So basically, all the refugees, you guys all ended up on the plane, or I call it the plane hideout.
The fuselage.
There you go.
The
thank you.
Term.
Thank you. See, that is why we have her here tonight. When I mess up, she picks me up. So anyway, so you guys go all back there, and there's this trade going on between Oliver, or not Oliver, but between you and Slade for Oliver. Slade's, like, at this point, clearly lost his mind, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
How is it working with Manu Bennett?
Manu is awesome. I love working with Manu. He's so dedicated to the character, and he really gets into it, which is cool. There's never a moment where you don't believe him or he's, like, kind of half-assing it. He's always fully there. And he has a lot of, like, everybody kind of has their own preparations of how they get into the scene or the character. And he's very physical, so he's always, you know, wants is doing push-ups before. Like, he probably burns, like, 1,000 calories just, like, prepping for the scene, like, getting his heart rate up. And it's a lot of fun. And he's a really funny guy. Like, you guys should have him on.
That would be awesome.
Meet him. And, like, man, it's hard to describe. You just have to meet him.
I would love to see his.
So is he more serious or more funny?
When he's prepping, he is dead serious. Very serious. In normal life, like, he's really funny. He's like a character. But when he's, like, in his zone, he's very serious.
Nice. Sorry,
I
didn't mean to cut.
Oh, no, I was just saying I think we need him in here to show us how he preps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not even... See, I want to talk about the show, but I'm going to trail off a little bit. You have all these really good-looking guys as your castmates, right? So you, as you... If you were to walk on set and you didn't know these gentlemen, but they are their characters, so we have Diggle, we have Oliver, there's Slade, Roy, mm-hmm. and even people from the past we can pull up, and you have to pick one guy.
Don't do that. I don't know. I can't pick any of them.
No, it's not. But it's not a, you know, like...
Everybody has their such a different thing about them, you know? I don't know. It's just, it's like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Like,
you like them all.
Yeah, then they all, they're just so, all of them are so unique, and like, they all do kind of like look different, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody,
yeah,
everybody has their own kind of vibe going, which, yeah, is cool.
And they're all sexy.
Yeah, they are.
How about you? What's your prep?
What,
before you go into a scene, what do you do to prep?
It depends on the scene, really, like, and where I need to be. I don't usually need, like, a lot to do a lot, unless I'm... If it's something, like, more emotional, I get just more withdrawn. And that sometimes is hard. If you're in a scene that you're sad or you're mad or something, and you keep it going until you're done shooting it, because you don't want to get there and then go put it away. Get there and put it away. And so, like,
that'd be tough.
You're walking around, and, like, people are trying to talk to you, and, like, you're like, don't talk to me! But it's, like, you're just in the scene, kind of.
Do you really see yourself prepping two totally separate ways for playing the canary versus playing Sarah? Is that hard to go between? You're basically playing two different characters.
Well, I actually think Sarah on the island is more different. Like, because Sarah and Canary present day are still, you know, they're similar. They're, like, the same.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah on the island is very different. So it's more just, I guess, the way that Sarah on the island reacts to things and takes things is completely different than Sarah present day, which sometimes is hard because, you know, I'll see Sarah's in a situation on the island and I just want her to be like, you know, like, F this and do something, but she's not that strong yet. So it has to be more from, you know, where she's at.
That's very cool. Let me ask you this follow up. What was the prep work for that kiss?
You know,
he had to go there.
For the Sarah Oliver kiss?
No,
he's stuck on the girl on girl kiss.
You know what? That was actually the same episode that kiss happened.
That's right.
The kissing Katrina Law, who plays Nyssa, mm-hmm. was easier than kissing Steven. I think I was just like,
I knew it.
Me and Steven, I felt like, because we're like, you know, like, friends, like, good, you know, like, brother-sister-y friends, mm-hmm. kind of. And so it was, like, it just felt awkward, you know? We're, like, we're, okay, like, how do we do this? And with Nyssa, or Katrina, it was, like, I guess it was just easier. I don't know why. Like, it was just more make-believe, and we had just met each other, too, like, a couple days ago. I don't know why that should make it easier.
Wow.
Strangers.
Yeah.
Strangers in the night.
Gosh, I was going to ask something about that because you just brought up the whole thing with Steven and totally threw me off. But I will say this. What is your take on Sarah's character? Because I'm always getting angry. I'm like, okay, so this girl goes behind her sister's back, takes her little boo thing, and then she goes off onto an island, supposedly dies. Her family is just completely devastated. Comes back and, okay, I'm alive. Oh, P.S., I'm part of this, like, old gang squad. And, oh, by the way, I'm still sleeping with your man. Like, what?
I think, I mean, the one when they were kids, when they were younger, it's like they were so young. And she, you know, she had a crush on him before, and she felt like her sister kind of, you know, took Oliver from her. So that's how she felt back
she
then.
Justified.
Not to say it's right. But, like, you know, it was young and it was stupid, and I think she just really liked him, and he was pursuing her, and she probably thought, like, okay, like, he likes me, you know, like, this is finally going to happen. And then later, Something that Steven and I had talked about with why they get together like that so quickly. And it was because we felt like on the island they had really built a connection. They had something that was beyond what it was before on the boat when it was just like stupid kids, where they really kind of grew together, understood each other, and, you know, they really did build that bond. And I don't know if it's something that'll ever make it into there, but was something that Steven and I both talked about, that we had imagined that some point on the island, it was like we had said, you know, if we were ever home, if this we ever had a normal life again, then we could finally, we could actually be together, but we can't now. Like, this is, we're just trying to live. And so it was kind of like, you know, when she says, I'm home, it's like she's finally back and they can finally be together. And so they do it, you know, they get together. But it is, like, especially for Laurel, I could totally get how, you know, that would, you know, because she didn't know about any of the island stuff.
Right.
So to her, it's like, you know.
Again? Like, yeah. Seriously, again?
WTF.
Yeah.
And you just got here a day or something ago. So for sure, I, you know, it's no doubt why Laurel would feel the way that she would feel about that.
Yeah.
And it's hard because they can't explain it either.
Yeah.
I say, I feel like, you know, Kelly and I used to talk about this last season when The Huntress was on and Oliver and Helena were dating. We're all like, ugh. Like, the chemistry was so awkward to us. I don't know why. Just the two actors in general, we watched it and we'd be like, I don't know, right? Like, something
it
just,
didn't
make sense. Know. And I will totally say this, though, when Sarah and Oliver got together, out of all the girls he's dated, I feel like it's the most chemistry I've ever seen with him and another character.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of shared history, and, like, just, they're the kind of, like, she's, like, the girl version of him, almost.
Mm-hmm.
With this everything that they've been through, that they do, it's, she's really is kind of, like, the counterpart of him.
It's really the only person he can really talk to that understands what he's been through and that he can really relate to, which I think really shows in the chemistry between the two characters.
But I also think, like, It almost makes it harder because of everything that's happened. And, like, Sarah, like, I've always saw, like, Oliver's journey was he's gotten better. Like, he started off as this, like, shithead party boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he really evolved into, like, a strong, caring man. And with Sarah, she started off, you know, she was innocent. She was light. She was excited. She was happy. She was joyous. She believed in things, optimistic, and then after everything that's happened to her, she's dark. She's, you know, feels like she's a killer. She is judgmental of things. She's, you know, so jaded from things. So I felt like their journeys kind of went in opposite directions. And I think that issue or Sarah's issues are definitely like something that makes the relationship hard.
Yeah.
Relationships, something we talk about relationships all the time on this show.
Yeah.
And I think we, for the most part, agree that I like the way things work between Sarah and Oliver. But I will say I also like the things, I like the way that in season one it worked between Laurel and Oliver as well.
Yeah.
But I did. I thought it was great. But I think in general it's really cool to see how the show has taken such a strong turn from just being about like comics and fighting enemies to really developing these relationships between characters. It's like one of the most fun parts about the show now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is cool.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. And I will say, I really do hope to see Diggle and Felicity get
together. No!
Shut your mouth!
No.
Unacceptable.
Here's the thing. No offense, but I'm all about Felicity. I'm sorry.
I think it's a fan favorite for sure.
Jesus Christ.
Felicity's definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's something that needs to be explored for sure. I don't know if it's like that's what's right and that's what it has, that's the true love, or I don't know. But I think it should be explored, you know? And because I don't think either, like, everyone always says, like, Felicity's, you know, is all about, like, oh, I want to be with you, and, like, Ollie, I'm in love with him. But I don't think she's like that at all. I think she's, you know, she's a smart, like, mature
woman.
And I think, you know, like, that she doesn't know either if that's what's right for both of them.
Right.
Like, if they really are a match.
I don't think she's something piney.
Yeah, no, she's
I don't
not
either
piney. And, like, and I don't know if they would be the best for each other. I'm curious to know. Like, I'm sure everybody's curious to know, so hopefully they explore it, but I wonder.
I like that they haven't yet, because that seems like such the obvious place to go. And yeah. I like that they've had moments, intimate moments between the two of them, like when we had, you know, Flash come in for a second and Oliver was jealous and kind of like the other way. We see the jealousy and all of that between them, which is what I like. I just don't want to see it go further yet because it's too easy. That's what everybody expects to happen. Mm-hmm. So to see the tension, I think, is more fun, at least for me to watch.
I think at this point it's gotten too far, and that when they eventually, if anything were to happen, it would just ruin the friendship and team that they have. And I think that as much as I want to see them together, and I do, want that, I think we're past it.
But they've got to go eventually. They got to explore it.
Yeah. And it can't always be the detriment. It can't always ruin everything.
It's going to ruin everything.
People can be friends, then lovers, and occasionally things don't work out, and they're friends again. Cool. It happens.
Four girls at a table. Can we move on from relationships?
Okay, you know.
I've said my piece.
Well, the last thing I will say, I thought it was really funny. The one thing that your character, Sarah, took from a conversation earlier today in the show is when they were describing who Helena was, Felicity had her moment. She's this, that, and, Oliver's psycho ex-girlfriend. And it was the one thing Sarah was like, your ex-girlfriend? Mm-hmm. You're like,
As you were saying about Sarah growing a little darker, this episode had that amazing quote about the darkness in you.
Yeah, that Helena
says that then was in the promo for the next episode, and I feel like that's a theme that's going to be carried on for the rest of the season.
Right.
Maybe. I'm curious, because they had Laurel saying it.
All the girls going dark and the guys are getting light, which could be kind of an interesting twist to see.
I'm curious because that obviously is something loaded. And I'm not saying this from I know what's happening. This is purely, speculating. Yeah. But it is, I found that really interesting that it was, Laurel saying that and what that means or. Because it was an important quote, so for someone, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple of hints, actually, I feel like, that were dropped in tonight's episode, because there was also the reveal of why Oliver has the same tattoo of Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big deal. And then the other one was when Oliver called Roy Speedy to calm him down when they were about to... And I was like, oh!
Which is something we always wondered. Yes. Are there going to be two Speedies? How is it going to go? Mm-hmm. And that kind of...
Now we know.
Yeah, exactly. Resulted in the breakup.
Yep.
More relationship stuff.
Yep.
Sorry.
Cool. Awesome stuff here, guys. Powerful stuff.
Why don't you get on your voice modulator?
So Laurel's back to work.
Yes,
Laurel goes back to work, and they use her. And she almost sinks right back down into the bottle. First place she wants
to go. So sad, but such an interesting conversation when her and the Black Canary, which that's another one we're wondering, how do you not know that's your sister?
It's the blonde wig.
Is that what that is?
I think I had the hair in front.
I did notice that the hair was blocking her face. That made sense, except later when she looks at her and Ollie and goes, run. I was like, you're looking at your sister and her boyfriend.
But, the only, kind of defense for why maybe she doesn't know is there's a lot going on externally. I mean, her life is at risk. There's, bullets, this happening. And also, when she's sitting at the desk, she's thinking about booze. She's not
that's true.
There's all these demons she's battling internally and externally.
Poor Laurel.
That, something like that. And that's the last thing you would imagine. You know what I mean? If you saw a robber, someone hold a gun to your head, you would never be like, oh, I think that's my sister or that could be my brother. You just would never even jump to that. It wouldn't be something you assumed.
On a positive note, who knew you could pick up really attractive chicks at AA meetings?
No.
I did.
A lot of people.
You've been to one in L.A.?
No.
I bet you there's tons.
I'm an alcoholic.
Stop it.
If you like the trouble type.
Something you always bring up. I think it's you. Maybe, you bring it up too, but they make this observation that Detective Lance, who's no longer detective, I just like to call him
Detective.
But he's the worst because he doesn't ever actually do anything. He just always shows up right when everything's over. And tonight he actually got one punch
in a key moment.
That was key moment.
Got shot.
You got me there.
He got shot. He got a punch in.
Yeah.
He's had some major key moments. There's a few times he's come in with that
one punch.
Well, they don't teach you the right cross in assassin school. That was another line he had. And the guy with the spare.
But Nyssa beat him up pretty bad.
In which one?
when with
Heir to the Demon.
Yeah.
Did oh yeah, she did. She
Oliver had to say.
but Nissa's a badass.
Yeah.
That she is. There was a moment actually in a fight scene with you and Helen, which were amazing fight scenes, because then you have two girls that are kick ass and they're going head to head with each other. I'm a little sad that they were shortened. I mean, I don't know how long they were when they were choreographed, but they seem like very short scenes.
Right.
Either way, but it was fun to listen to you comment as well, too, because it's the first time you're seeing everything put together.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you being like, oh, I hate that I lost. Like,
I know. I remember when we were shooting that scene. Mm-hmm. And then, even when I read it, and I was like, what do you mean she throws me out the window? Like, what do you mean? Like, how does she win? But it was cool that we got to have the round two.
Yeah.
And, you know, where she says she's not going to hold back this time.
I'm super afraid. Every episode, I just get afraid. I just don't know what's happening with you. You know what I mean?
Should
I just don't want something bad to happen, dude. It keeps seeing that guest star, and I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's freaking
I had that
me
same
out.
Thought tonight.
You know what I mean? If something happens to you, I'm going to stop watching. All my followers, all 176 of you, we need to stop watching.
Yes!
But wait, do you ever worry about that? Or do you know? I mean, I know you probably can't share with us, but as far as the extent of how long you're... I mean, good, but, you know, how long you're going to be on the show? Or is it always like, God, I hope I'm still on it?
Another flight to Canada.
The thing with Arrow, it's like, even if you die, you can still come back. You know what I mean?
That's true. That is true.
So, yeah. I haven't read the, like, final script yet. And but, yeah, if you die, you come back, and we'll see what happens, you know, with me. I'm not going to give anything or spoil anything, but...
So we'll that was
see.
Poor tact for me to even bring it up.
No, it's a question everyone always asks, so, you know, why not answer it?
Yeah.
Or not answer it, but at least bring it up.
Yep. So do you guys think that Roy is going to start really working with the team? Because he still can't seem to get it together. Like, he's got all this strength and all this power, but it's like there's still something that's causing him to erupt, and he cannot control himself.
I think this episode we saw that he's going to start doing even less well with the team. Like, he's just going to get worse at teamwork. He's going to be like, oh, I want to be part of the team, and then he's going to go and kill someone.
I don't think he'll ever kill anybody.
I think the breakup was bad for him.
I think the breakup was bad for him. Mm-hmm. I think he's too stubborn to learn to control himself.
I don't know about that. He definitely broke up with Thea.
Yeah. But it's because he loves her, obviously. He doesn't want her to get hurt. Like, maybe he just feels like Oliver made a good point.
I think that was a really rational decision for him to do what he did.
Rational or irrational?
Rational.
Okay.
For him to do what he did. To break up with the girl that he loves and cares about, especially when he's doped up on Miraku. And he's able to, like, still, like, be able to make a rational decision like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Honestly,
Roy is a character that obviously has been very dear to me. I really wasn't appreciative of when he let Thea hit him with the punching bag and the boxing glove thing. But,
what? I thought that was a great scene.
That was a great
We've
scene.
Talked about this. But moving forward, other than that, he's shown a lot of character, and he's a lot of character development, from being just like a street punk kid to, you know, becoming a mature adult, getting hit with the Miraku. Like, everything he's done so far has showed a progression of maturity to me.
I disagree.
Minus the boxing gloves. God.
How so?
I think in this episode...
Hit me.
Shut up.
He's still unable to control himself. And I think that it's as he continues to try, he's just going to get more and more frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to slip into his immature self. Then again, I also consider him a child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I spend every episode going, oh, children.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
I think it's interesting, though, because in this episode, I feel like he didn't have a chance to do anything. Like, he kept getting stopped before he actually did anything either way. Mm-hmm. So we don't even really know yet if he can or cannot control himself at this point. Because the minute he's about to see maybe if he can, Oliver steps in and just cuts him off.
And
so he doesn't have the follow through. So how do you know?
Well, I think that's the kind of thing that's just going to keep frustrating him, is that Oliver's going to keep stopping him because he doesn't trust him. He's going to get frustrated. It's just going to be this vicious cycle, and he's going to get worse and worse.
So you think he's going to, like, go off onto his own and try to fight crime by himself again? Or?
Yeah. I'm just a pessimist.
Yeah. You got to remember, he comes from a broken home. You know, like, so many bad things have happened to Roy as a kid growing up. So when you take that into consideration, it just makes me really think that a lot of what we're seeing is just a person that's come such a long way. That's what I just keep thinking. It just keeps standing out
to me. I think so, too. I think it's going to go the other way. Because he came from that broken place and he finally has a kind of a stable environment, I think he's really going to do whatever he can. He knows the difference between good and bad. It's just, you know, how far he can go is just what he has to learn.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of on that way. But we'll
see. Right.
We'll see. I refuse to be secrets. Negative. So tell me, what is it going to be? Who's right?
I can't even join the conversation because I know too much.
I know, that's why I'm like, ooh.
Well, I just like the fact that she knows. That means that we're going to know soon.
Yeah.
See, as long as she knows, we'll know soon.
Yeah.
Katie,
it
stays in the studio.
There you go.
The cameras aren't on.
Well, how long do you think this breakup is really going to last?
An episode or two at most.
Yeah. Offset. Who's the strongest out of the four major guys on the TV show? You can put him in a hierarchy. Like, Roy beats up Steve.
I don't know. I'm like, Steven's really strong.
Yeah, he looks like he's pretty tough.
He does look like
David
he's strong.
David is huge.
Yeah.
David's huge.
He's huge. His arms are like twice
David
the size of
David does Muay Thai.
What?
Yeah, he does Muay Thai. So I feel like in a fight... Don't tell Steven. I think David would win because he's a Muay Thai fighter.
Good
and
gracious.
He's probably, I mean, I don't know how much more reach he's got on him, but like, David's a big dude.
If you had one shirt and it was dirty and you had to wash it in water and you only had one set of abs to put it on, which one?
I know exactly who's on
I think
pick.
Steven's abs, for sure.
Those are the ones.
It's got to get clean. Yeah.
So with all these guys around, is there anybody who's a prankster on set?
Steven's a prankster.
So,
for sure.
Yeah? Is there anything like real good that he got you with?
No, I haven't had any huge pranks or anything yet.
Who's
he's
the funniest?
Just like a daily prankster. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Funniest intentionally or?
No, like this is in the natural. They got the natural humor on set. There's always a fun person. You're always laughing when they're around.
You know, like it's
such a serious show. I always wonder.
It's such a like great cast though. Everybody's so fun. It's a really good group to work with. Emily, she's the funniest.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, Emily is like Felicity. Like, she's that funny in life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Emily. She's great to hang with.
So what do you guys do in your spare time? Because you are in Canada. I would imagine after you see the city once, no offense to Canadians, but I would imagine after you see it a couple of times, you're there for months at a time. After a while, it's like, I mean, we're here to work, but after that...
Well, you gotta build your life a little bit, just like here, you know? You gotta find stuff to do. And it is a little hard, because I'm also, like, I come back to LA a lot, so I never fully, like, made a life for myself there, so it's just been, like, I don't know, 8 months of it I've been out there, but I come back, and so it's, like, halfway there, watch a lot of movies, and I'll hang out, you know, like, with people like Emily and some of the, like, crew and stuff, too. Out there.
So you guys, are you like
going
all...
go snowboarding in Whistler.
Oh, nice.
That's a really good spot.
Yeah.
But so are you guys all housed together in like one general area?
No.
How does that work?
Everybody gets their own place.
Like a house or an apartment?
Wherever they want. I think it's kind of like city living, so most people have like apartments.
Okay.
And yeah, because everyone's got like pretty cool spots. And then I've been living at a hotel, which is cool. Kind of, sometimes. You have, like, a maid every day, which is cool.
Yeah,
and, like, everyone who... I see more actors in this hotel, like, than I've ever seen in L.A.
Really?
Yeah, like, I met Juliette Lewis the other day, like, talked to her for a while. She was super nice. Just got her wisdom teeth out.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, like, I met Robin Wright from House of Cards.
Amazing.
So I was so excited. I didn't really meet her. I was just kind of had elevator talk with her.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be like, I love you on House of Cards. But like so many, everybody's there. Like in downtown Vancouver's really small. So if you just walk around, like I swear I see like, oh, there's that person from that show, that person from that show. And like everybody's just like right there.
CW films a lot of stuff out in Canada, right?
Everybody does. I mean, CW, sure. But with the dollar, like to the Canadian dollar, it's good right now. And there's a lot of tax things. We need to bring the film industry back here. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to get some incentives.
We need more tax incentives. That's the problem.
Yeah, because we need to bring jobs back here.
Exactly.
In Canada and stuff, all their people, they're just trying to go out, like, out of their union, trying to get more people because there's so much work there. And, you know, the film industry here in L.A., there's nothing. Like, you don't work here. And, like, as an actor, you're never here. Like,
seriously.
And it's so...
The agencies are here, though. The agents are here.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing.
But it's like to, you know, move, like, people who have families and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then, like, say you move out somewhere and then, like, your show gets canceled. And they're like, I'll come back.
No, yeah. My
and then, you know, now you're in Texas. Now you're in there. And it would be great to, you know, I hope they do kind of figure something out and bring a little bit of it back here.
Seriously, my background calling service is about to take their entire operation in New Orleans.
It's oh, yeah?
Not a big deal, yeah. Never mind.
What?
Nobody knows what that is.
Not at all.
It sounds like they're just taking their industry.
I'm just teasing. Oh. It's like a background. It's not a real agency or anything. Oh.
So anyway. Good, well, you know what, though? But I want to go back to some stuff that happens on set and stuff like that. Have you ever had like a really super embarrassing moment? It doesn't even have to be on Arrow, but just in general, like something mortifying.
Yeah, please relive it here on the show.
I feel like
we're in a safe place.
I have like a really selective memory, and I think things that are like really traumatic, I probably just black out. And so any kind of, I would just erase that memory. But I can't think of anything like super embarrassing. And actually, I've been asked that question like all the time in interviews. Everyone always wants to know like what's the most embarrassing thing. Like, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm gonna have them, but I don't really know. It's always embarrassing, like any kind of like sex scenes or stuff like that on set. That's always awkward.
I would imagine. Yeah. All those people staring at you.
You just feel weird and like everyone's like trying to be super polite and super nice about it, but then it's like overly so and you're like, oh, okay.
I'm just naked. No big. Whatever. All right, so why don't we take it back to the show? I think we've fallen off completely.
Literally, there's no direction right now.
And it's all my fault. It's all, I'll take the blame.
Nah, I got a good question, though. What did you guys think, going back to the show, about Laurel going to AA meetings? Something was great, right?
Yeah, I think it's refreshing. I like it. It's showing that she's finally putting her ego to the side and admitting to herself, like, I need help. Mm-hmm. So...
And they're taking the problem serious, which I think is a good thing for the show.
Right.
They're not just kind of glazing over it, which is great.
Did you think that the interaction between Sarah and her when she was about to hit the bottle seemed realistic? Because I kind of felt like that was an inappropriate time for her to start drinking.
It was very random that it was just happened to be placed right in front of her while she's being held hostage.
Is it cool if I talk about you like you're not here? Like with her and Sarah.
I agree that it was weird that the bottle was there, but I feel like that scene was very genuine. And I feel like the way Sarah reacted and what she said to her was just... her being a great sister, which we know that she is, and I'm not just saying that because you're in the room, but that she was able to like put aside the fact that she has to hide who she is because this is more important. She could risk, you know, exposing herself because her sister is more important.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that odd for her to do it. I mean, it was there. Maybe that was a bit odd that it was there, but I mean, she's an alcoholic. Like, she is a full-blown alcoholic. And if you're dealing with something, like, terrible and difficult, and then all of a sudden you see something that's, like, going to relieve that pain, like, why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. First 30 days is the hardest. Anybody that's suffering from alcohol addiction, please.
Wow. That's the easiest thing to do. Grab a drink.
Yeah.
You know.
That conversation, though, between the characters backfire on her a little bit, right? Because they had this whole conversation about being strong. I don't remember the exact dialogue, but when Sarah was trying to get her out of the building, Laurel turns around and stops, and she's the noble one who's like, hey, there's people in here. Hell no, we'll kill them. We have to save them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're right.
Can I ask the question that I asked when we were watching?
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Helena is the Huntress. Everyone's aware that she is there to kill her father. They say, hey, Helena, with your mask, the Huntress, why is she wearing a mask?
No. Maybe they don't know her in other places. She has been, you know, hopping all over the world, killing people.
But, I mean, she's in her hometown, right? And then everybody in law enforcement knows that it's her. So that is a very good point.
But it's more impactful.
I'm not saying she shouldn't be wearing it. She looks great in it.
She looks great.
I've been trying to find pictures of that full costume to cosplay it. I'm so excited. But I don't understand the mask.
No.
It's a legitimate question, for sure.
Thank you.
But wait, okay, did anybody think it was a little cray that at the end, when her father actually was killed, she started getting upset because she was like, but I was supposed to be the one.
No, because when you want revenge and someone takes it away from you, you get really upset.
Because you weren't in control. I think her whole thing was like she wanted to take that power back. Mm-hmm. And by it being done and she didn't get to do it, she didn't get to take the power back, what she thought, you know, what she would be doing.
Good point.
How did you feel about... I know it's so weird because I don't know if it's weird or not, but how did you feel about the idea that Oliver told you to Oliver told you to stay back and he said, I don't want you to be involved going to the courthouse? What was going through your head during that time, Sarah?
Sarah's not here.
It was so weird watching the episode with you. I'm like, yep, mm-hmm. I know what she's thinking, and I don't.
I think, you know, for her, like, Sarah's got a major weak spot when it comes to her family. Or not weak spot, but, like, that's mm-hmm. her rage mode. It's like she doesn't care about anything. And not what Oliver says, not what's right, what's wrong. She's going to do what she needs to do to protect her family. So I think when he's... You know, and I think also it's like, you know, he thinks that her judgment is clouded because it's her family. But then here he is working up these arrows he's never used before that have, like, you know, that won't hurt you.
His baby arrows.
His baby arrows. You know, and it's like this woman that he's, you know, been with. So she's like, how, you know, like, how are you going to tell me my judgment is clouded mm-hmm. when it's like you're changing up your whole game because of her? You know, so I think... She doesn't, yeah, there's no way in hell that she was about to listen to him.
Damn, I thought she
sit
was.
Sit at home waiting.
Yeah.
No.
This episode definitely had a lot of parallels like that with the Huntress and Sarah and how they both need to not kill people and how his judgment is clouded and Sarah's judgment is clouded. It was a lot of parallels. The whole episode was just lines, parallel lines.
Yes. Well, I will say the whole episode of this AfterBuzz, I am officially fired because, you know, I was supposed to talk about the show and I totally digress. And at this point, we're slowly winding down on time. So what I'm going to do is just jump to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. So I know I have, I believe, two pictures that we'll eventually pull up that are just about... the show. So while they pull up, we know that the next episode... Oh, okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So last week, we were talking about this young lady, Harley Quinn. And I don't know if you were the one talking about, but it was voiced by Teenage Titans star Tara Strong.
Yeah, it was.
Very cool.
So I have another picture of what she actually looks like in the face. Wanted to flip that around because I was not familiar with her. So just for anybody else who may have not been familiar with her as well. Am I correct? Did I totally do it wrong? That's her, yes?
Who?
Tara Strong.
That's Tara Strong who voices Harley Quinn on Teen Titans and did the voice in the last episode.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Nice. All right. Well, we're just going to say that I did.
I didn't follow Teen Titans all the way through. Was Harley in Teen Titans?
Oh, maybe she voices someone on Teen Titans.
Well,
apologize.
It says character voice by Teen Titans star Tara Strong.
Yeah.
She might actually return to the show. So, meaning the character. Right. So it may not be Tara Strong playing the character anymore, but that character may resurface again.
There were rumors that Tara Strong would be Harley Quinn. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
It's where the geek comes out.
Cool. There was something else. What's that noise? Oh, it's you. Oh. Okay. So you know what? I'm going to skip because I know we're winding down on time. So I'm going to skip the show news and gossip. And I just want to go to you. You're like, oh, okay.
I don't have any news and gossip.
But I do. See, that's the thing is I do. We do have a clip that I wanted to play, and so our engineer will pull that up. But earlier we were talking about the fact that you used to sing. And so you were...
Oh, God, please don't.
So we have a clip of one of your old videos, just a short little spot. If you... Let's see if we can get a shot of
you. Which one's
you? There she is, in the front. Get it.
Nice.
That's like 19.
So what year was this?
This was, I don't know, remember, 2007?
And at first I was like, is that? No, it's a little boy.
Those kids, they won a contest to be in our music video.
Nice.
Nice. So cute. Oh, get it, little boy.
This is Germany?
It was all Americans. Like, we were five American girls, but we were based in Berlin, and we toured around Europe.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, and then really quick, for anybody who's not familiar with your history, can you tell us, because I don't want to be the one talking about you, but, like, some of the projects that you've been involved with from different movies, shows, etc.
The first TV show that I did was Mad Men, that I had... a cool little reoccurring role on. And then I was on the show called Death Valley, which a lot of people haven't heard of, but it's on MTV. And if you should check it out. Like, find it somewhere on the internet. It's so funny. I had a movie called The Pact, which is a really great...
Oh, my God, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to have to go back and watch it. I own that movie.
Really?
Yes.
You know that was me?
No.
You didn't put that together?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
God.
But that's a cool, scary movie. And what else? I did a Battle of the Year, which was like a breakdancing movie with Chris Brown. And then I have another movie that's coming out soon. It just came out in the UK, and then it's coming out in the States in April, which is really cool. And if you're a sci-fi fan, you will love this. It's like a awesome sci-fi art house kind of movie. And it's I play two different characters. One of them is an artificial intelligence scientist, and the other is a like an android. I'm a robot.
Nice. We actually played the trailer for that last episode because we knew it was airing. And then we have one more trailer we're going to play just because we're talking about Battle of the Year. So I'm going to have my engineer play just because, again, I love a strong female character, and I feel like, you know, you came in here and you're like, ah. Anyways, that's my version of yeah, yeah. But, okay, we're just going to wait for it to start.
Do not. L.A. Strangler Crew.
And I know him! Super Crew! What? Sorry.
It's so funny, right?
Yeah.
Luigi.
Yeah.
Originality, style, power.
Now the Koreans are the best. It's over.
Laz is awesome.
An American crew hasn't won a battle in the last 15 years.
Koreans are really good.
We actually shot this at actual Battle of the Year in the south of France.
Nice.
That's sick.
Coach my crew. I was a basketball coach. You have heart, and that's what I need.
Oh, wait. Oh, we didn't get to see the part where she was actually in it.
We're in a detention center.
There we go. We're going to get flagged for this.
Oops, my bad. That's my bad.
It's a long trailer.
Yeah, it's super long.
Starts at 6 a.m.
6 a.m.?
I'm at 6:01.
You will be gone.
Bitch about my simple rules, you will be gone.
Hey, coach.
Ask some wise-ass question about you will be gone, and you will be gone.
And then she comes on.
It's enough.
You cut one of our best B-boys.
He was the best.
Record books are filled with teams that didn't get along.
Messing me up, bro.
Let's run it again.
I think we need a choreographer.
Give me the best.
There she is.
That's what's up.
That was a one-on-one, baby.
That's what's up.
I'm not into boys. I'm into men, so you and I won't have a problem.
Okay, so we can cut it. But anyways, sorry, I didn't realize we were going to watch all that just to get to your one good scene. That was my fault. But anyways, yeah, I think that's really cool that you got to work with all those amazing people and you were the strong female that came in. I was like, yeah.
It was cool, too, because, like, I really, because I was a dancer. Like, I was a dancer. And when I came onto that movie, I was, like, an actress. And it was so different. And I always thought I would have, like, a problem with people, like, viewing me as, like, a dancer, not an actor, but it, like, never happened like that.
Nice.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Well, it looks like we're wrapping up the show already. I'm getting kicked off, so thank you again once more for coming
nice
to visit.
Yeah, talking with you guys.
I'm sure everybody knows, but you can leave them your Twitter handle or your website so they know to get more information.
Yeah, it's just my name, Katie Lotz, C-A-I-T-Y. Don't spell it with a K. L-O-T-Z, and that's it, yeah.
And it's Twitter, Instagram, everything?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Awesome. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't think there's anything else.
All right.
And you guys, I'm going to start over on this side.
I'm giving out my spot tonight. Hey, you can do a shout-out to Ryan McDonald real quick. Tell him you're going to hit him up. We're going to call him after the show.
Yeah, call him right now.
Do you want to call him while we're on air? We can do that.
No.
Listen, Ryan, I got your back. I'm going to get to the bottom of why Katie Lotz did not call you back. Your friendship is getting rekindled tonight.
He already gave you his Twitter. You can find me online at yell.tv. That's YAEL.TV. And on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Yell Teagle. YAELTYGIEL. Take it away.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And I'm Ali Kona Bradford. You can find me at Kiss My Passport or on my website. It's alikonabradford.wix.com/television host. That is all for this evening. Thank you for joining us with our very special guest, and we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
And now, buzz you later!
Adam Mogul.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.